first up, a trip to the Death Salon. It's not a place where you get your final hairdo, but rather a huge event that happened recently at Philadelphia's Mutter Museum, which is home to a famous collection of medical oddities. Death salons are a thing. They are becoming more and more popular, taking place all over the world. So we wanted to find out exactly what goes on there. Alana Gordon went to investigate.
It's a little before 9 a.m., and about 200 people are seated in rows of cushioned black chairs. They're mostly wearing black, too, but they all seem to be wide awake, completely engaged with the woman in front. She's displaying some straight-up graphic images of autopsied bodies.
This is a car accident, motorcycle victim, actually. What do you think is coming out of his nose? It's not snot. It's his brain. Good. Excellent.
Dr. Marion Hamill is a forensic pathologist.
It tells me that there is an unnatural connection between his nasal cavity and the inside of his head, which means he probably has a skull-base fracture.
She gives a flash talk-style presentation on the myths and realities of being a medical examiner. One pet peeve, no, she cannot tell the exact time of a person's death.
I know on television they do this thing where they go, I think he died at 8:30. Unless he was shot through the watch. I have no way of telling you that.
Absolutely not. Hamill is the very first speaker of this two-day death salon.
Thank you so much, doctor.
Well, you know, I'm happy I didn't eat a big breakfast.
That is Jeremy Cohen. He traveled in from Montreal to attend.
It's very jarring, but it was a nice way to start the day. It set the tone for the rest of the day.
Cohen's a grad student studying Western death rituals, religion, and technology. On a personal and academic level, he's curious about it all. And he's in good company, because this is an event for the self-described death geek.
My name is Lori Zaspel, and I'm a death enthusiast.
Zaspel's from Philly, pursuing a social work degree in dying and bereavement. Ann Noble is a designer from Michigan.
Well, we're having a drawing for the tea light urn there and the bottle of wine, so leave your card and...
She has a table outside the main space and is displaying artist-made urns. She's situated near vendors selling everything from crystal crowns to dark photographs. There's a woman with consumer information about funeral planning and death midwives. Noble's having a good time.
Oh, I think this is a blast. Yeah, this is awesome.
Noble's own family has been in the funeral business for generations. Her grandfather had a horse and carriage hearse in South Dakota in the mid-1800s. Noble says an event like this might seem upbeat, but no one's making light of death.
This isn't about, you know, vampires and fangs or anything. This is about professionals who care about what they're doing and making a difference for people.
Her display is a hit with Michael Fannin, who interacts with urns in a different way.
Well, I have to be careful when I'm setting a stone in the ground not to hit an urn if it's in the ground that was put there before I got there, especially ceramic.
Fannin's a traditional gravestone carver from Vermont, who's here to network with others in the industry. Then there's Sarah Buchmann, a writer.
I'm from Zurich, Switzerland.
So you're wearing a shirt. What does it say?
It says, death positive.
Death positive?
It means that I welcome death into my life because it makes me aware that I don't have all the time in the world, and it makes me appreciate every moment.
This is Buchmann's second death salon. She bought the shirt here. Many credit the salon founders, like the MC Caitlin Doty, with popularizing that phrase and cultivating a death-positive community.
For me, it's like a huge movement.
Doty's a mortician and self-described death advocate based in LA. She's got bone-straight dark hair and thick bangs.
We're not talking about when your father dies. Just be positive about it. He's dead, but whatever. That's not what we're saying at all.
Doty says death positivity is about encouraging more openness around death, acknowledging the fears and fascinations. She's passionate about this.
Death is the driving force of everything that we do in our culture. It's why we create art. It's why we create where history comes from. It's where science comes from. And so it's a positive thing to understand what an important role death plays in our lives. And if we're not doing that, we're not fully understanding our lives.
Doty says people are craving more substantial information about death, but it's often hard to get. She saw this firsthand when her low-budget YouTube series became an internet sensation overnight.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and this is a skull. Welcome to Ask a Mortician.
This first episode had more than 200,000 views. It's a simple premise. People ask her questions about death and the funeral business. She answers them.
Question one comes from Michael in Chicago. Dear mortician, how long does rigor mortis last?
As a microbiologist, I've always wondered what type of biosafety...
This question keeps being asked again and again and again. Do corpses soil themselves after death?
I don't think there's any other culture in the world that has quite the distance from the dead human body as we do in the United States.
Dodi has always had a fascination with death, but she first realized the extent of this disconnect and even denial while working in a crematorium in her early 20s.
I don't think that I knew what a lonely, almost industrial job it is to work at a modern American crematory. You're there by yourself. You're doing 6 or 7 bodies a day. It's sometimes a loud environment, sometimes a dirty environment. And there were no family there for the most part. It was just me there. And I think that was the most shocking part.
She'd meet families wanting to get more involved, but not knowing how. This isolation from loved ones wasn't always the case. The traditional American funeral was one that took place at home. Family handled the body and its burial. Practices started to change during the Civil War. That's when preserving and embalming bodies emerged, with soldiers being transported back home. As people moved into cities in the 20th century, the funeral home became the center of overseeing the body. A few years ago, Dodi connected with friends and colleagues, librarians, writers, artists, who, like her, wanted to change the discourse around death. This was amid a growing natural burial movement and the emergence of death cafes. They formed a group called the Order of the Good Death.
I mean, it's supposed to be somewhat campy, but it actually comes from a Brazilian group of nuns who would take care of the dead. And the good death is something that we don't really value anymore, even though throughout history it's been a phrase or a concept that's of incredible value, to speak openly of death and to learn how to die well.
And out of that came the Death Salon, an actual space for people interested in this notion of death positivity to interact. Their first one took place in LA in 2013. This one in Philadelphia marks their 5th. Salon is a throwback to the 18th century French salon, where people from different backgrounds would meet to discuss ideas. So there's something for everyone. And it explains why, after that 9 a.m. forensic pathologist presentation,
this piece actually brought with me
people heard about the art of preparing skeletal remains.
To study the porousness of the human skull.
A doctor discussed the present-day challenges of coordinating palliative care for her mom. There was a session on preserving transgender identity after death.
She's not aware of anything she could do to ensure her gender is honored after her death, other than rely on her wife.
And there was this live performance and analysis of murder ballads.
American Song Pretty Polly is derived from the old English murder ballad, The Gosport Tragedy.
Well, Polly, pretty Polly, you're guessing about right. Polly, pretty Polly.
I think that there's something bigger going on.
Anne Esikov is a sociologist at Muhlenberg College and at the University of Pennsylvania. I was really glad to run into her at the salon. She's been researching present-day activities that are trying to change the meaning of death. From death cafes, these are smaller facilitated events, often among strangers, to discuss death, to a growing green burial community. Esikov thinks death positive is a fairly recent term and movement, at least in its present form. She's not sure how big it is. She's trying to figure that out. But she sees it as tapping into something.
I do think this is kind of this concerted effort to change the experience of death, to get people talking about it, even, you know, coming out of the hospice movement.
That's the now accepted idea of comfort care for someone with a terminal illness. It started gaining traction in the 70s.
And then now you get more and more conversation going on, even with healthcare reform and thinking about end-of-life care, that it just kind of is then snowballed then into after death.
Esiko finds the Death Salon and its death positivity culture especially interesting. It draws a younger crowd. And yes, there are intimate conversations happening here about things like end-of-life care, but this is an event that goes beyond the individual.
It really feels very different because it really is about looking culturally and socially at constructions around death, and so I'm really struck by that.
We're going to do a live Ask a Mortician. you have any questions.
The salon wraps up with Dodie leaving a live Ask a Mortician session with fellow mortician Sherry Booker.
Have you ever dropped a body? Many details, please. I've had all sorts of strange things happen.
Other questions are deeper, almost philosophical. How do you talk to children about death? When it's over, Sarah Buchman, the writer from Zurich, who has that death-positive T-shirt, doesn't want to leave.
I'm sad that I can't come here tomorrow and it's not going on.
She was so inspired after attending the Death Salon in London, she formed a death cafe to keep the conversation going. David Orr is an artist who's headed back to LA.
I try to live by this anyway, but being here really reaffirmed the idea that enjoy life while you have it.
Dodie, the MC, admits that coming here doesn't make death any less scary. She's okay with that.
If anybody tells you, like, oh, I'm totally cool with death, doesn't bother me, I don't believe them. Because if you've ever really faced your own death, your man trembling at the edge of the mountain, it's terrifying. And every human has the journey of coming to terms with their own mortality. And it's a journey that lasts your whole life.
But for her and many others I talked to at this salon, cultivating a death-positive community marks an important part of that journey. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.
The debt to the devil, oh, well, he must pay. The debt to the devil, will he must pay for killing pretty Polly and running away.
And this music you're hearing comes from the group Van Devere. They were performing live at the recent Death Salon in Philadelphia. You can check out a video of them and other photos from the event on our website, whyy.org/thepulse.